I've been running since the day that I was born. Chasing your love around from the night into the morning. You say sweet things, but baby, you're just a tease. Dragging my heart around, doing with me as you please. But in your lies, I see the truth of how little I mean to you. You only call me when you need a game to play. Set me up and knock me down and continue on your way. My skin, it ain't so thick as my hair seems to be. It peels right off my bones every time that you leave. And in your lies, I see the truth of how little I mean to you. What do I mean to you? Oh, I just need to be on my way and stop believing all this bullshit that you're selling me. 'Cause I've been patient, hoping you take my hand, but now I know that I'll never, ever, no, never, ever, no, I'll never, ever, ever, I'll never be your man. I'll never be your man. Please just let me be on my way and stop believing all this bullshit that you're selling me. 'Cause I've been patient, hoping you take my hand, but now I know that I'll never, ever, no, never, ever, no, I'll never, ever, ever, I'll never be your man. I'll never be your man. 'Cause in your lies, I see the truth of how little I mean to you.
That's Dave Barry, our guest this week on The Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous? Who wants to die for art?
Torino, the biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you, you're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? Contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Uncle Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above the arch, the empty Harris lot, and the cold ass weather at the night. It's the Worst Little Podcast, and I'm the worst little host in the world, Nick Ramirez, with my host friends Chewbacca, Dogwater Dick, and our good friend Dave Barry.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Welcome, Dave.
Big time.
Love it.
It's because it was cold out the night, but out the day, it was really warm.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice day.
And then something happened, and it's just like, oh, it's winter now.
Yep. Again.
It's that time of year where it can't make its mind up.
No, and I love that.
Yeah.
Except if it freezes, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, if it snows again, I'm going to get pissed. There's a lot of stuff I
planted. Yeah, your garden looks pretty good.
Thank you.
I planted a ton of stuff over Mother's Day weekend. I don't lose it.
That's what we did on Mother's Day was plant everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's not supposed to freeze. It better not freeze.
You're not supposed to plant till the snow's off Peavine, and there's still snow on Peavine, but Mother's Day is kind of like the cutoff for me.
Mm.
If I don't get it in the ground by then, it's not as fun.
Yeah, we don't get to have gardens downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't even use the balcony or anything. Like they're like, don't open these fucking windows. That balcony is ancient. Nobody's allowed on it.
You have an ancient and dangerous balcony up there, Nick?
Yeah, like one of those old stair things.
Yeah, like a fire escape? So,
yeah.
Oh,
like that. So if the building...
I could climb out the window and sit on the balcony.
If there was a fire, you couldn't go out there?
To,
Is it the fire escape? Is that how you're supposed to get out of the building if there's a fire?
No.
It's just there for show.
It used to be how you did it, I guess, back in the olden days. 30s
or whatever. But now did they install stairs?
Yeah, you have the inside stairs.
Okay, so that's the fire escape.
Yeah.
So it really is just for show. They should take it off.
It looks cool, though.
Yeah.
It adds character to the building.
I don't know. It seems like you put some plants out there.
Yeah.
Maybe if they take it off, it like weakens that side or something.
If you put one plant there, it'll displace the whole building.
The whole thing falls.
Nick Ramirez, structural engineer.
Well, welcome, Dave. We've been off a couple weeks. We did have Mother's Day. That's right.
Yep.
And my wife had a birthday this weekend. Happy birthday, Mikey.
Happy birthday, Mikey.
And it was good. What'd you guys do this weekend?
Oh, my God. I recorded the stuff with the Cryptilians. And and I saw my friend Luke Knudsen, who's working on some new stuff. And I love his work. And what else did I do? And I did a bunch of yard stuff, you guys. It was the best.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I just wanted to get outside so bad, and I was able to work around the studio enough to get that done.
A lot of that done, too. Saturday, we went to Mike Wrench and his wife's birthday party at the Troops House, which was awesome.
Mm.
Their beautiful house up in Somerset.
Nice.
And then Sunday, just did Mother's Day stuff, took Christina out to Two Chicks, and then went home with our new plants and worked in the garden and pulled some weeds around the yard. It was nice. It was a good weekend. What a great, great weather. 85 degrees, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Mm.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it was a good weekend.
I did the same thing. Stained my fence.
Oh.
Planted a bunch of flowers for my wife. Worked on the garden. My youngest plays 3 different sports, so that took up most of the mornings.
Yeah, that probably takes up a lot of time.
Oh, man, the kid's playing flag football. He's playing Little League baseball. He's playing soccer, which my wife coaches his soccer team. So, yeah, it's just constant. Mm.
You have a bunch of kids, right?
I do.
Are they all in sports or?
No. My oldest was in sports. He actually walked on at the University of Hawaii's football team.
Hell yeah.
You know, this was years ago. And then I had another son that played football in high school, and another son that wrestles at Swope Middle School. And then my youngest, yeah, he's playing it all. He's doing it all.
Any of your kids do music?
My oldest, yeah. He's in Nashville. He was in L.A. for a little while when he got out of school. He left Hawaii, came back to UNR, you know, Nevada, finished school there, and then went to L.A., was doing his thing, playing some music. He did some acting, and then went out to Nashville and was just, you know, doing it full time. Recording and stuff, and now he's kind of he's over the performing live. He's got a publishing house, you know, and so he gets a lot of his catalog picked up for TV shows
some
and
Nashville
commercials.
Stuff right there. Yeah,
it's he a actually, good town. You know, that show Shameless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had I think it was like season 8 or season 9. The first episode, the opening scene, they played his song when Kyle H. Macy was getting off the kitchen floor after being hammered and wiped his butt with a sponge out of the sink and cleaned himself up. And my son's song's going up and off in the background.
He's so proud.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
This is a great moment.
Right. So that's kind of so cool. what he's been doing with music, just, you know, writing songs, recording stuff for, you know, soundtracks and the like, you know, some shows and movies. Yeah.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Man, big family. And then you're in one of the most popular bands, Jelly Bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, busy. For years now.
Yeah, we've been, Cliff and I, you know, the drummer, we've been holding it together for 15 years. This was our, 2023 was our 15th year of playing. He and I are the only two original members, you know. I mean, it's so hard when you're touring and, you know, we went years and years for, you know, we were playing 220 shows a year, you know, all over the country, traveling. And it's just hard to keep a band together doing that, you know. So we've had five different bass players, you know, a couple different lead guitar players, six different keyboard players, you know. It's just, it ain't easy. It ain't for the faint of heart.
For 15 sure. years is a long ass time for a Reno band to stick it out. And that's a ton of plant.
Well, it's funny for a lot. It was to a point to where Cliff and I were the only Reno guys for about 3 years.
Just pick the other three up
guys
the
in the band were all from Portland.
Okay.
You know, so they would fly down and we'd hit the road. And then and now our lead guitar player and keyboard player are both from Sacramento. And but I don't know how that's going to keep going, because our keyboard player is also a bass player, and the band he plays bass in, they just won the NPR Tiny Desk concert.
Oh,
thing.
Shit.
They just won it. They're out in New York or wherever NPR is, the studios. They were out there today.
That's a badass project. That's a big deal.
Man, out of 7,000 entries, they won it. Yeah.
Damn.
And everybody who's won is blown up. So I'm like, well, we're going to have to find a new keyboard player. But it's awesome for them, you know.
Wow. That's
wicked. Yeah.
That's far out, man.
Yeah.
So we were also talking about how, earlier before the show, you were on earlier, like in, Puffer Billy days.
Yeah.
And I sort of remember, I don't know if it was during the podcast or maybe we were hanging out somewhere or something, but I remember when you told me that you were like, I'm quitting my day job. I'm going to make this my job.
Yeah.
Playing guitar. I'm curious, like how that went in the beginning, like how you got the wheels rolling on that.
You know,
because you were really driven, and then when I saw your name at High Sierra Festival, I was like, fuck yeah, dude! You know,
made it happen.
He made it happen.
It was really just finding the band, the group of guys were willing to put in that time. Or I should say, finding a group of guys who didn't have any other jobs that they had to worry about making less money. So, you know,
yeah, that's it's like, hey,
let's go out and see if we can make some money. You're broke anyway. You ain't got a real job, so let's do it. And we did for years. And then, you know, got to the point to where we actually had, you know, we had some good guarantees and we're making money. And, you know, we'd build tours around a couple good festivals or big money shows. And then, you know, book the Tuesdays through Thursdays or, you know, Mondays through Thursdays, just a little wherever we could get a gig, you know. And then we got a booking agency, then we got management, or we got a management first and then a booking agency, and that kind of took over. And then we were just, you know, going where they told us.
I have a good friend in Chico, and he was way into you guys, and I was like, oh, I know those guys, they're from Reno. Dude, you know?
What's his name?
Brian
Fredson.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
You know Brian?
Brian and Mary Rose.
I was going to tell you to pretend to know him, but you do.
That's pretty crazy.
You don't even got to pretend.
Oh, Brian's awesome, man. His wife, Mary Rose, they've been coming to our shows for years in Chico.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, that's it. We're all connected, man.
Yeah, for real. Small world.
Yeah.
Small world.
Really good. And so, like, Jelly Bread recently got back together for Tyler's show.
Yeah, we decided we were going to play our last show at New Year's Eve for 2023 New Year's Eve, because we played New Year's Eve almost every year, but it was always out of town at some other place, and we said, well, let's book it at home, have a big old blowout show. We played at the Cypress, and you know, that was it. We were like, you know, we're done for the foreseeable future. And for me, it was just kind of like I was just tired. And on top of which, I was just like, we need to write some new shit. I'm tired of playing the same old stuff until we can make some more, you know, new music. I don't want to do this anymore. And so that was it. But then, yeah, Tyler Stafford, one of my best friends, you know, he's had some serious medical and health problems, and, you know, which is just wild because he's only 38 years old. Mm-hmm. He was actually out. He got invited out for a songwriting session to Muscle Shoals out in Alabama. Whoa. Yeah.
Some big time shit.
Yeah. So he spent a week out there doing all that and flying home. He had a connecting flight in L.A., and about 30 minutes from landing there, he had a heart attack on the plane.
Shit.
Damn.
Yeah, so he, you know, they wheeled him off the plane, rushed him to the hospital. And, you know, my wife's talking to his wife, and we're like, man, do we need to drive down there? Do we need to take your kids so you can go? You know, just freaking out. And he was all right, you know, he was there for, I think, 4 or 5 days. And what it came down to was he had blood clots in his heart.
Huh.
And they got a bunch of them out, but there's still one or two in there, I think. And then they found a hole in one of his valves. It's just, you know,
shit.
All kinds. And the poor, you know, he plays music full time.
Yeah.
You know, and they were just like, no, you can't do anything for right now. And, you know, and he just going through all this stuff.
And then I don't think musicians have insurance around here.
No, I know. How you guys gonna, you know, how y'all gonna get through? And they were stressed. So actually, I play in his band as well. I play lead guitar in his band. It's called Tyler Stafford and the Big Trees. So with Tyler's wife and then the other band members and, you know, their significant others and a bunch of other people, said, let's put a big, you know, benefit show together for him. And Cypress donated the room for us. It was really cool. And we were trying to find like a headliner and, you know, everybody was busy. And I was just like, well, let me hit up the guys, see if I can, you know, get the band back together to do this for you. And everybody was like, oh, hell yeah, let's go, let's do it. So, yeah, we raised a bunch of money for him. You know, a bunch of people donated stuff for raffles and a silent auction and, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, raised a good amount of money for him. And so we did that. And, you know, he's still got a long road to recovery and a bunch of issues. So hopefully that'll, you know, fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Works out.
Yeah. Yeah, we love Tyler for sure.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Great guy. So did Jelly Bread get the bug again or is it just put it down for now some more?
You know.
You sound like, no, I'm still tired.
I am. I'm still bored. But, you know, it's one of those things. I've been here before to where it's like you start coming into the summer season and, you know, we get festivals hitting us up, and it's just hard to say no because we do have fun, especially when we haven't played for a while. Yeah. You know, even when we were touring all the time, if we didn't, you know, we'd get off a 6-week tour across the country and be like, man, I don't want to talk to you guys for till the next gig, you know.
Yeah.
And if you can, you know, go 2 or 3 weeks and or a couple months, then you get back on the stage and it's kind of, you're happy to see each other. And we all, I mean, we love playing together, you know. I mean, everybody right. in the band is just killer players. So it's fun in that sense when it feels fresh again. But, yeah, you know, we dropped our management and booking agency because I was just like, you know, when COVID hit, I was just like, we're not going to be on the road.
Right.
You know, so when we do get offers, why am I going to pay fees for, you know, percentages and stuff to somebody else? I'll just take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got people reaching out for summer gigs and stuff, and I'm just kind of like, well, I text the guys, well, you know, you guys want to get together. And, you know, another big thing of the hiatus was our bass player, Cliff Jr., my drummer's son, is our bass player now.
Okay.
And he is playing semi-professional football.
Oh, wow.
So he left in February, won't be back till the end of July. So we didn't have a bass player. I mean, we got a couple guys that can fill in, but that was another reason. It's like, I don't want to go through, you know, having to teach a guy the songs and worry about all that. And that was one of the big reasons we were going to take a break. But like I said, I get hit up for stuff. I'm like, well, maybe we can do it. I hit the guys. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So, yeah, we actually have a couple festivals this summer and some events. But it's not, we're not booking any gigs where we're like going to a bar and trying to get a door, you know, trying to promote it. It's like, if you guys are paying us, you're promoting it. Mm-hmm. The festivals are promoting, the events promoting it. You guys are just giving us a flat fee, so it makes it easier, less stress mm-hmm. for me mm-hmm. as the manager and the guy running everything. And yeah,
a lot of bands are doing that these days, where they don't go on tour, but they do go to the festival circuit in the summer.
It's a hard life, man. It's a hard life living on the road, man. I used to laugh and say, you know, we're just truck drivers, like in a moving company that gets to play a show at night. Because we're hucking, you know, hauling our own gear and setting it up. And, you know, we have a, when we were touring constantly, we had an engineer with us, our buddy Todd Rold. He'd be on the road with us too. And, you know, we're carrying all our own, you know, he just plug into the systems. Mm-hmm. We got our own board and in-ears and control all our mixes with our iPads. And, you know, I mean, it's just a lot. It wears on you, you know.
Yep.
Burns you out.
So you're working on stuff now, like kind of just kind of fresh by yourself, doing some solo stuff?
Yeah. I just started writing. Well, I actually, one thing led to another, and I started writing. My little sister, who was in Pufferbilly with me, her and I were the singers. You know, and I started playing music with
her. What's your sister's name?
Jackie.
Jackie.
Yeah. When I first started.
Pufferbilly from the Jazz Club and the Zeppelin back in the day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. man.
Yep.
Where we all cut our teeth, man. Yep. That was some fun days.
Sure.
Yeah, and if you do go back and listen to Pufferbilly, probably just go to the songs. Don't listen to the talking.
Yeah, especially me. I'm sure I said some dumb stuff. Were we mean to you? Were we nice? Did you leave the house
sure
being
we
like,
nice.
What a bunch of jerks?
Yeah, those guys don't know what the fuck they're doing.
God. For real, we probably didn't.
So we're in like a two-bedroom house in East Sparks, and we're just, what?
Right. Figure it out.
Yeah, and that was when people really were like, the fuck is a podcast? What are you talking about? What is that?
It's a radio show that you listen to when you want.
Right.
All over the world.
But one thing, the thing that led to me starting doing a different thing was, you know, her and I, when I first started teaching, you know, figuring out how to play guitar, I'd write songs and she'd always be singing with me. You know, I'd be at her house and, what do you think about this? And she'd just start harmonizing and stuff. So her and I, you know, started Pufferbilly basically. And then, but anyway, move, you know, to 2023, and she lives in outside of Austin, Texas now with her husband, and you know, her kids are all grown, and she called me, and she's got cancer. It's a, you know, it's one of those types that nobody survives, you know, so.
Damn.
I started going out there, flying out there about every 6 weeks, you know, after her chemotherapy. I would time my trips to where it was a week before her next chemo session because that's when she'd start feeling better. And, you know, I flew out there and I brought my guitar because that's what we always did, just sit around and play, you know, and sing together. So I brought my guitar and, you know, I set up my phone on the coffee table. I just wanted to have some video, you know, some recordings of me and her singing together. It had been so long. We started doing that and we're playing some of my old stuff that she knows and, you know, and I said, you know, I got a little home studio now. I'll record some songs at home and then bring them here, bring my stuff with me and record you singing, you know, just so I can have it so your kids can have it, you know, mm-hmm. when you're gone. And then that just kind of bubbled a bunch of other stuff. I started writing, you know, for her and you know, started getting the writing bug again because of that. So that's what I've been doing for the last year is just recording stuff and taking my stuff out to her and having her put vocals with it, sing with me, and that's kind of what my focus has been, you know, for the last year or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Should we hear some of it?
Yeah.
Want to pick a song?
Yeah. Let's do Brighter Days. Bad love, she reared her ugly head. Cut on my blood and tied me to the bed. I guess no love or credit is gone. She'll extend no hand to this foul pro with palm.
And I've seen brighter days in the pouring rain.
Yes, I have.
I've seen brighter days. I'm
not one to complain, but I will a little bit. Sister Fate sneezed in this new tree, no drops. Well, I've been cursed, and this damn nurse knows she won't stop. I just want to rest, I need to rest and clear my head. But I nod and agree and smile and say the things that they won't say.
Cause I've seen brighter days in the pouring rain.
Yes, I have.
And I've seen brighter days. I'm not one to complain, but I'll do a little bit.
Bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Cause just when I'm feeling big, something cuts me down real small. I learn things the hard way, of this I've had my fear.
Sometimes it's all I can do, not to kill or be killed. And I've seen brighter days in the pouring rain.
Yes, I have.
I've seen brighter days.
I'm not one to complain, but I do a little bit.
I've seen brighter days.
Yeah.
I've seen brighter days. I've seen brighter days
in the pouring rain. Yes, I have.
I've seen brighter days.
I'm not one to complain, but I will a little bit. Just a little bit.
Oh, dude.
Beautiful.
That is so sweet. God.
That thing that they call blood harmonies.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
A beautiful sound.
I'll have to go home and get that Pufferbilly CD back off the rack and listen to it some more. I miss that. Miss the voice.
Yeah, she's just naturally, you know. Yeah. She was actually in Jelly Bread when we first started.
She was a sweet person. Like, she's
a sweetheart.
She's the best.
She's got a side of her that'll scare the shit out of you, too.
Yeah, you guys were. I used to work the door at those clubs, and I remember playing. Yeah. Well, you guys playing, it was always like a breath of fresh air when you guys come
in. Right on. Yeah. So. Yeah, she's a natural, you know. But like I said, she was in Jelly Bread when we first started, but Jelly Bread became such a big, you know, rock and funky thing. And she was just like, you know, I just don't feel like I fit, you know, because that's more what we do. We do the more laid back, folkier stuff, you know. And so she quit, you know. And at the time I was like, oh, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And now, you know, looking back and the way everything's turned out, I'm like, you know, shit, man. I wish that would have never happened.
She lives near Austin, you were saying. That's a pretty big music city. She doing music?
No.
Was she doing music?
No, she moved out to her husband, works for Tesla out there. He's one of the quality control guys. So, you know, they offered him big money to move out there. And they got 10 acres out in the middle of nowhere, out in the sticks, and built their house and, you know, got their little Shangri-La out there. Man, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's the place to be. Austin's a great city. But it's gotten ridiculous and huge and expensive.
Yeah.
So being out in the country is a good move.
Yeah. And we're you know, But the truth is, we're country folks, man. I mean, we grew up in the sticks, mm-hmm. which it's not the sticks anymore. You know, Spanish Springs, when we grew up out there.
Yeah, I remember.
There was nothing.
There was some ranches we had and 10 some trailers.
Road, yeah, 10 miles of dirt road. When now, we first moved out there, we didn't even have a phone for 2 years, you know.
Now the traffic's like L.A. to get out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My parents sold their place and moved further out. Get the hell away from people.
Yeah, it's crazy what's going on out there now.
Yeah, Reno's getting... The prices. Jeez, man. Yeah. We're becoming California. Ridiculous the way stuff is, costs around here.
Yep. Yeah, it's overpriced.
Yeah. Yeah, say the least.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you look at where they're coming from, the people that are moving here, it's like even 5 times more ridiculous than Reno is.
Yeah.
Prices, especially what you're getting. Reno's a great city.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just getting. Yeah,
so it makes sense why price. People want to come here.
Yeah.
And they bring that money with them.
Right.
So we're just all along for the ride.
Yeah, but all us kids who grew up in Sparks, you know, it's like we can't afford this shit no more.
Yeah. I think about how much I paid for rent 20, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But same places I used to rent for $500 are now renting for $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But it's still a beautiful city and we love living
here.
Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. No. So.
Hey, you brought a bunch of songs. Should we hear another one?
Butterfly is beautiful. I love that one.
Okay.
That's actually a cover. It's a Lenny Kravitz tune.
And, oh, yeah.
That's one that, you know, Lenny Kravitz, me and my sister used to sing to him all the time. We'd be sitting in my Volkswagen Beetle when I was 19 years old, drinking 40s and smoking weed and singing along to listen to Lenny Kravitz. So I definitely, you know, I was like, we need to record one of his songs. And we recorded that one. Did it differently than him, but and let's see, there's Miss Red. I wrote that one about my best friend growing up, and I ran away from home when I was a kid and lived with him and his mom and grandma and great grandma for a while. I wrote that one about him.
Wait, dude, we got to talk about one of them. Play it. You can't talk about all.
Oh,
so I ruined the mojo.
My bad. I was just going through my head. What did I say?
That Mitch one sounds like a good story, but you know, people like covers too. And that was a good story. That was a beautiful story.
I want to hear them both, but
I know.
But let's hear Butterfly.
Why don't we just play them both
and
then talk about the Mitch story.
You are the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. You shine just like sunlight rays on a winter snow. I just had to tell you so. Your eyes sparkle as the stars, like the moon they glow. Your smile could light the world on fire. Or did you know? Your mind's full of everything that I want to know. I just had to let you know. I just had to tell you so. You're my butterfly.
Trouble I was getting in. My best friend T-Dub and his mama Miss Red took me in. Miss Red. She put a roof over my head. She said that boy ain't white, not talking about his skin.
we gonna fight? You say that shit again, all misread. She put a skillet upside your head. Cooking pork chops and collard greens. Big mama and Lulu Reed and Miss Red. Games, hollering from the bleachers, calling referees out the names and scaring all the teachers. Miss Red, I won't repeat the things she said about the smokes and NGDs and Edna May. She's happy but calling Miss Red if you know what's good for you. Your bedroom clean, and man in chillin' steam, and Miss Red's. Pork chops and collard greens, Big Mama and Lutheran, and Miss Red's. Miss Red's. You don't mess with Miss Red's. Much love of Miss Red.
Oh, hell yeah,
man. So you ran away and got to live at your friend's house? Because I tried to do that, and my friend's parents were like, without a note from your mom, you can't stay here because we're harboring a runaway. Like
haters.
Yeah, she let me stay there. Me and my buddy Troy, it was his mom. We had to switch like for the first 2 weeks. They didn't know I'd run away from home. I was sleeping like on another friend's balcony at his apartments at night. I would crawl up there at night, sleep on his balcony.
Did he know you were out there?
No.
Oh my god.
No. And his mom would have his 501s hanging on a clothesline, you know, drying, and I'd pull them off and try to keep warm in his clothes, and then I'd hear his mom leaving for work in the morning. I'd put everything back up, crawl down from the balcony, and then go around to his front door and go, hey, my dad just dropped me off, you know, on the way to work. We'll walk to school together. And then I was wearing, you know, the same clothes to school for like 2 weeks. And that's when my buddy Troy was like, man, you all right? I was like, I ain't all right, man. I'm sleeping outside and shit. He's like, come to the house, man. And his mom was like, you can stay here as long as you need to, you know. Yeah.
Damn.
I was getting in trouble, though, man. I was being a knucklehead. And that was when my oldest son was born. That's why I ran away. I thought I was going to get my ass kicked and... my parents found out I knocked up my girlfriend, so.
Mm. Yeah. You got a kid and a song out of it.
Yeah. I got a lot of songs out of it. Yeah. Yep, having a kid at 16, man, I don't recommend it, but.
Well, the kid, it sounds like the kid turned out great.
Yeah, he's doing his thing, man. You know, I married his mom in high school. I was the only kid at Sparks High School who was, you know, junior high school and married.
Wow, what year was that?
That was 1988.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did we go to high school together?
Probably. You're probably at Sparks in 1988, weren't you, Rick?
I graduated 89.
I think we were the same class.
Really?
I dropped out junior year, though.
Ah, okay.
But I was one of the freaks that hung out across the street from the theater smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
The kids with the weird hair.
Yeah, I was, you know. At that point in life, it was basketball was my life. I was Mr. You know.
So you were like a jock kid?
Well, I did. You know, I didn't feel.
Or were you like stoner corner?
I was stoner athlete. I didn't, you know, hang out with all the other athletes. I was weird. I was raised Mormon, man. So it's like I didn't fit with kids anyway.
Good, yeah.
So I just played ball, and me and my buddy Troy, you know, we were like all state and all this stuff. And, you know, he was popular partying and I was that weird kid. And then first time having sex, I had a kid, you know.
Damn.
She's like, oh, shit, what now? My parents are like, well,
that's how that works.
You can move back home, but you got to get married. I was like, okay. So got married and started raising my son.
Wow.
Yeah.
For, and so, like, should we play the game or should we keep going with Dave?
No, no, this is way more interesting.
This is way more interesting, yeah. All right, then we're going to skip the game. And we never started the clock, but that's okay.
I did start one on my own personal time.
Oh,
okay.
Maybe we should play together. I talk too much.
No, I was just, I'm just curious because, like, yeah. I mean, you know, when you're that young, like, my mom was.
yeah.
What are you showing him, Rick?
Yeah.
Me in high school. Oh, yeah, yeah.
In high school, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You look different.
Yeah. You got a haircut.
Remember
me?
I remember dudes who looked like that.
Yeah. You got to send that picture to me so I can put it in the blog for people. So
gotta go hit for my mom. She's in the picture.
Okay, I could crop her out if you want, Rick. But or we could just
blur her face out.
Very unprofessional for me to leave my mic and come into the room.
Had to show that.
Yeah, I would be like, I can't believe we went to high school together.
Yeah, you guys are like in each other's yearbook.
Yeah.
Right.
I got braces and I got food in my braces in the picture in the yearbook, so that sucks.
What kind of food was it?
I don't know. Whatever I ate, it was probably a burrito or a bagel.
Gross. Tortilla.
I'm like, what did I have at lunches?
Bagel bite.
You know.
Who was your favorite teacher, Sparks?
Oh my God, we were theater kids. So Miss Boyden, who became Miss Murray.
Yeah.
I forget which one was first, but she was Boyden, then she got divorced, and then Murray, or Murray, and then Boyden. But I remember she had those two names, and she was fucking amazing. And she was a theater teacher. And then I always failed English. I failed English freshman year. And then sophomore year, I failed English. And then junior year, they're like, you have to pass English. But guess what? Miss Murray, the theater teacher, is teaching an English course. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I love her. I didn't say that to them.
What was the name of that badass drama program they had over at Sparks? Wasn't there like a program?
Skyfire.
Yeah.
That was the music. Like, that was the cool. Those kids were way more talented and professional and great than we were. We were like the bottom of the barrel theater.
That's where, like, Natalie and all, and those people from.
And those people were in plays, don't get me wrong, but we weren't allowed to. Gotcha. Like one time they
more
saw
of a
me.
A musical program.
I was trying to drag Natalie away to cut school and do drugs with us, and somebody saw me doing that and was like, you got to stop hanging around with that kid. Like, he's.
You're going to mess up
and
your
they
ride.
Were right. They were right. I was going to mess up her life if I could. I really wanted to. Oh, but in the English class, one day Miss Murray came in and I'll never forget this. She was freaking out, and I was a goth kid, and she said, Spagnola, get over here. They want me to read this Poe story, and I don't understand a word this guy's saying.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I read that like four times because I'm a goth kid. I'm supposed to read that, you know? So she had me explain to the class what was going on in the Telltale Heart. And we read the whole thing, and then every paragraph we would stop, and I would tell them what it just said.
Explain it to us.
Yeah.
Translate.
And that was one of the only good days I had at school, that I actually was doing something that involved school, you know? Because I had lots of good days that were stuff that had nothing to do with school.
I hated school.
Yeah.
Only way I stayed in school is because I wanted to play basketball. I had to stay eligible.
God, if I'd only had something that I cared about that could have done that for me, because I just didn't give a shit about anything.
Yeah.
When did you pick up the guitar and start doing that?
I was playing college ball, and one of the guys on the team had an acoustic, and I just started. You know, I always was always into music. My whole family. I was the only kid out of eight kids in my family who never took a music lesson. You know, everybody, my older brother played guitar, my sisters played piano and oboe and saxophone, and my youngest sister was a great singer, And I never took a music lesson because my parents were like, we can pay for a music lesson or pay for the sport you want to play.
Right.
So I didn't. One of my teammates in college had a guitar, and I just started kind of trying to figure it out. And then I started, you know, I'm going to write a song. And I didn't even know what chords were. You know, I didn't realize until I was actually in Jelly Bread, you know, oh, I'm playing this chord. I'm playing a C. I'm playing a D minor. That's what those are. You know, I didn't know. I was just playing something.
I got lots of those.
That's what they call
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I got lots of those chords where it's like, that sounds good. That I don't know what good. It is, but it sounds good.
I have a lot of people that, what is that chord you're playing? I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like some kind of diminished this or that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Augmented.
I have to ask John Cornell. I always go, I go play it on the guitar. I'm all, what is that? Right. That's a C diminished. Oh, cool.
Nice.
Thanks.
I have theory.
Yeah.
That's very a friend's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I started, 22. I picked up a guitar.
Where'd you play basketball at? In college.
I went to BYU, the Mormon school, right out of high school. Yeah. And I got kicked out of there.
Yeah.
And so,
what for?
I wasn't. I only got in because I tested really high. You know, I didn't have a great GPA coming out of high school, but I tested really high on the SATs and ACTs, you know. And they, you know, were like, oh, you have great potential. You know, I was like, yeah, I screwed my life up. I had a kid. I'm trying to get my act together. So they accepted me.
Yeah.
Got in there, was playing, you know, ball and you know, school still wasn't my thing. And I was just, you know. I was married and had my son.
Yeah.
But
that's
I was
a lot
still,
of juggling.
Yeah, getting into trouble. And then me and my brothers were playing some ball and a fight broke out. And I got the shit kicked out of me by some dude on the football team. Mm. He was swinging me around by my head, right?
Oh.
And I was like going to black out or I thought he was going to break my neck. And his forearm was like in my mouth as he's swinging me around. And I was like, I got to do something. So I bit as hard as I could. And grabbed him by his nuts and just yanked. He let go. But a week later, I get called into the dean of students, and he's in there, and he's got teeth marks on his arm. And
he
said,
told
Yeah. And they told me I had to write a 10-page paper saying what I did wrong and, you know, how I'm not living morally or I wasn't able to re-register. And
I mean, 95% self-defense sounds
like. Yeah, I was trying to save my life. So I was just like, gave him the bird and left. Mm-hmm. Came back to Reno, you know, Sparks.
Damn.
And then, so then I went from there and went to, and played junior college ball in Napa Valley.
Okay. Solano or something?
No, Napa Valley College.
Oh, Napa Valley College, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Played there for 2 years and then found my, I got an offer to play at UC Davis, but at that time I was like, okay, I need to go home and just raise my son.
Yeah.
You know, I was divorced after I left BYU. We split up.
At least you gave it a good shot, though.
Yeah, gave it a shot. My older sister, both my brothers graduated, got their masters from BYU, and I was just like, it's not my thing, man.
Nice.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
What? And so, like, nowadays when you go home and they see, like, wow, he fucking did it with his music, how's
it's
that?
Cool.
What's
you know,
the
my,
family dynamic there?
It's really cool. My mom's always been real proud. You know, my dad is, you know, he's old school in the sense you just work. You know, my other brother's an artist. You know, he paints in galleries and stuff. And, you know, I think he kind of looked at us both as get a real job and this and that. But once we started actually touring and making money and they heard us, you know, they were cool. And even my brothers, you know, and sisters were all, you know, thought it was pretty cool. I think I got one or two sisters who think I'm not that good. So they're like, Dave can't sing. I can sing. That's embarrassing, you know. Like, damn. It's cold-blooded, you know. But, yeah, very judgmental.
You're the rock star of the family, though, right?
I guess
that's not really for you to say.
Yeah, they're all musicians. But.
But none of them – well, actually, I have a little sister. She was first chair in the Idaho Symphony on the oboe.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, for a couple of years, but then she quit that just to raise her family and stuff, be a mom, but yeah, I'm the only one.
Oboe, man.
That's oboe and clarinet.
Crazy ass instrument.
I don't know. I tried to get her to play on this. Actually, hey, I got one song, the one called Not Alone. I recorded my oldest sister. She plays the harp. She plays piano, but she plays the harp too. You know, I mean, the actual harp, like
another
an angelic
hard
thing.
Instrument. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had her track on that song. It was funny. I sent her the song. I was like, it's this beautiful, blah, blah, blah. I want to have some harp on it. She's okay. Send me the charts. And I was like, I don't know. I don't.
You need John Cornell's phone number.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know how to, you know, I you can't just listen and play something. And she was like, no, I'm classically trained. I got to have something to read to play. So my buddy Tim Snyder, who was in Soul Jive, and Tim Snyder, Wolfgang Timber is his new band now. When he was still living here, he put violin arrangements on it, and I took her over to his studio, and he wrote charts for her to play.
So cool!
We recorded some harp on there, and then we had Zach Turan and Miguel Jimenez Cruz. They were the rhythm section on that song. Came out really good. So yeah, that was.
Let's hear it.
Cool.
Which one is that?
Not Alone.
She whispered to me, it'll all be alright. When it's cold and dark, bring your heart to me, I'll give you warmth and light. And when I'm gone, you're not alone. Remember to hold me inside, it won't be long till we're together again. And you are mine. When we first met, you brought life back to me. Seeing your smile every night. It was so dark in my reality, stumbling blindly. You gave me sight, and now you're gone. How will I carry on? Will you whisper down from above, saying it won't be long till we're together again? I miss you, my love. I miss you, my love.
Sweet.
It's sensitive.
You got a lot of sides to you. Yeah. Super funky, super sweet.
I feel really bad for the people who like tuned in to hear your latest funk project.
I know, right? I think my next thing after this, I want to do something heavy. I want to really rock.
Like junk.
Yeah. Like Queens of the Stone Age is one
nice.
Of my favorite
Ooh,
bands.
Okay.
You know, I love that.
Fuck yeah.
I just never had that voice, you know, that like... You know, I probably would have been in more of a rock band, but I just felt like I didn't have that voice. But now I'm like, you know, 50 and 50 something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. I'm gonna do what I want to do.
Yeah, throw some distortion on it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just have fun with your music.
Yeah,
every type, you know, that you want to do.
Yeah, you gotta get it out. You know, mm-hmm. gotta mm-hmm. get it out. Make it happen.
Hell so yeah. you're planning on putting all these out? You're gonna when this project's
yeah
fully
yeah,
packaged, you're gonna release gonna it. Yeah,
put that
it
last out. One's available. You can go get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that okay. one.
Where's that at?
It's everywhere. On iTunes and Apple Music.
Dave Barry,
just under Dave
yep,
Barry.
Just Dave cool. Barry.
B single R R Y.
Yeah,
very good, very good.
I put that one out in 2021 on my birthday. Released nice. It. And yeah, that would kind of started the whole. And the funny thing is, I sent that to my buddy Ben Burgett down in L.A. He's a big time becoming this huge producer. I mean, he mixed the Grammys and this and that. And we used to crash his house when we were in L.A. You know, he's recording and producing all kinds of people. And I was like, I got a song, man. I need you to make it. He's like, I don't know. I don't have much time. I was like, he's like, I can't give you the bro deal anymore. You know, my rates are this. And then I was like, I don't care, man. I want you to do it. You know, and he did a great job mixing it. But he said it back to me. He's like, you know, he's used to the funk. He's like, yeah. Oh, Dave, that's so sensitive and sweet. Such a sweet song.
Yeah.
I ain't sending you shit no more, man. You made me all self-conscious.
No, really. Like,
that's what friends are for.
This is this new album you're making and that last song is like really you showing us your heart, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I mean, like I said, I started doing it all because everything my sister's going through. Mm-hmm. You know, we're like twins, you know? I mean, we're the two middle kids of eight. You know, I'm the youngest of the top four. She's the oldest of the bottom four. And we were the two that got in all kinds of trouble. You know, she had a kid young too. And so we just kind of, you know, had each other's backs and went through everything together, did all the drugs together, partied together, you know, and just – and did music together. And, you know, when she got her diagnosis, I was – and we started writing. I was just like, I want to do stuff that me and you used to do, you know, just the two of us and me and my acoustic, you know. I hadn't finger picked in so long, acoustic, you know, just playing my Strat, you know, funky stuff. And it took me a little bit to get my chops back, you know, finger picking, but that's what I wanted to do for her so she could sing with me and I could have that, you know, for – when she's gone.
That's a great thing to do.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, too, because when I go there, even her husband, he's a great dude. He's like, you know, everything she's going through is like she's in the best mood. You know, she's the best. I see her. We see her when you're here, you know, and you guys are doing your thing. And, you know, me and her, I mean, we talk shit and, you know, slapping bones, playing dominoes, and, you know, doing all this. But we do really good, like that folky, you know, mellow stuff together.
So. Man, that's when I was visiting my grandma when she had dementia and was in the like hospital place, and I remember after we got done, the nurses were like, "We're really glad that you came to visit." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." You know, well, I mean, we miss her, and you know, and like, and then she said, "No. When the other family comes, it makes her crazy, and she hates them. And when you get here, everything's better."
Like, yeah.
So isn't it nice to be? Because you know, some people bring out the worst in all of us, and isn't it nice to be one of the people that, makes everything better?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Not Rick with the big long mohawk, but the new Rick, the new improved Rick.
Oh yeah, this was the new improved Rick.
It
wasn't old Rick. Old Rick was a piece of garbage.
Old Rick, Rick would have made grandma upset too.
Yeah, yep. Like what do I get out of this?
All right, well, man, it's been quite a show. I think we'll just skip the quiz and have you back sometime to do that because we've been talking so long and everything.
Yeah, I'm interested. I want to hear the hard rock project that you're going to come out with next, too. So
Yeah.
I mean, come back anytime.
Right on, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. And so maybe some Jelly – or no, you got some festivals with Jelly Bread.
Yeah.
And then we're working on the solo album, and when that'll come out in the future. And Dave Barry, everybody. We're going to play another track from you, or did you want to do something live before we go out?
Well, I got a new one I just wrote. I just don't know how well I could perform it. I've only played it a few times.
If it fails, we could just pretend like this didn't happen.
Pretend? Yeah, just cut it.
Right,
cut
right.
it and plug in a different song. Yeah, I was playing this weird timing kind of riffs and wrote something to it. And it's kind of about it's about dealing with your demons, about pretty much about alcoholism, which I've, you know, tried to stop drinking in the last little while.
In the morning, don't wanna drink. Come evening, don't wanna think. The sunrise, she brings me hope. But the moonlight, end of the road. It's the angel's edge I'm walking on. Twilight to the dawn, twilight to the dawn. Lost my baby, it's a broken heart. No one to save me or play the part.
See, I forgot that.
Another chance, wolves at bay. I'm in my head, another day. It's the razor's edge I'm walking on. Twilight to the dawn. It's the razor's edge I'm walking on. Twilight to the dawn. Twilight to the dawn. I'm holding on. But will I make it to the dawn? In the morning, I see the light. In the morning, got the will to fight. I'm in mourning, just be a man. In the morning, I can hardly stand. It's the razor's edge I'm walking on. Twilight to the dawn. It's the razor's edge I'm walking on. Twilight to the dawn. Twilight to the dawn. I'm holding on. I'll make it to the dawn. In the morning.
That's a great
dude,
new song.
Dude, we all Thank get you. That shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what, 5 years in October.
Yeah. And I just nice. Got, this last week, I got 18.
Wow.
I know. Congrats, I don't know bro. How that happened. I got worse faster than everybody else.
I got you're, 2 weeks.
Fuck yeah. Dude, you know how awesome that is? 18 years is just boring.
I'm a wino. That's my problem, man. I get home from work and I'm just yeah. like, I don't want to drink.
No,
I don't want to drink.
Dude.
And then by 9 o'clock, I'm like,
dude, that
I'm not
song.
Gonna be able to relax.
Yeah,
that song is exactly
it.
What it was. It was just like, but I remember that every day I wake up and thought, I am never,
yeah.
ever, ever doing that again. This has to stop. And by the time I was driving home from work, there was no way I was not yeah. getting a bottle of whiskey.
Yep.
Like
yep,
it just yeah. like every single day to go through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awful.
Now, I drink every day, just about. I'll have a beer or two, but I get drunk every few years. I never.
Yeah.
Get hammered or drink well, to excess, I don't think.
I don't get drunk. Well, it's probably because I've drank so much it doesn't affect me like that. But
yeah.
I've had three surgeries on my right arm, right? I got really bad elbow. I had tennis elbow surgery. I had shoulder surgery. And then I had to have a complete shoulder replacement. And now my other arm's messed up. And it's just like, you know, I work hard. And we don't yeah. tour anymore. So I'm working yeah. manually. And I get home. I'm just like, I can't relax. I'm in pain. You know, yeah. and only if I like the only way I could sleep is to have a drink. And next thing I know, the bottles. I only have two glasses, but that's a bottle.
Mm.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, God dang it! Here I go again. Oh
Yeah.
And it's probably just compounding the problem, you know, with my inflammation and stuff.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's something I'm still dealing with. That's why I wrote the dang song. It's like, man, I got to stop drinking just for my health. You know, I'm not sloppy drunk. I don't make mistakes. I don't beat anybody up. I don't fight with my wife.
Yeah, it's definitely not good for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
physically.
Just my health.
Yep.
Yep. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
It's a rough habit to keep going. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a jump off point, man. Or if you're like Chewbacca and you just can handle a couple beers and you're not like fucking crazy like me where you're like, I didn't even really like a couple beers. It doesn't entertain me. Yeah. I like getting drunk.
Yeah.
Every single day.
It's not about the wonderful flavor of beer. I would drink non-alcoholic beer. I don't care for it at all. But so I know.
But if you're not into it for the beer, you're into it for the drunk, then
Everybody's different.
I'm just into it for the pain killing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's got to be something else.
Yeah.
You think.
Dude, I've been trying. I've been like ordered these grounding sheets. You guys heard of that grounding? It's like you ground yourself to the earth. They say that's what's wrong with our bodies because we're not grounded anymore. We all wear rubber shoes. We're on finished surfaces.
Okay.
And the earth neutralizes your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps inflammation.
Does it help?
I don't know. My sheets just showed up yesterday. Oh, cool. I'm going to plug them in and put them on my bed, and hopefully it helps me rest at night, you know?
Yeah. Wow. A guy I know got really into like electromagnetic pulsation mats.
Right.
And I'd work with him when I'd go out of town, and I'd go every day and just get on the mat. I felt great. It made you feel like relaxed and energized at the same time.
Right.
Trippy.
But so I looked into it, but the machines are like $7,000. I don't want to spend that much money. Although it makes
you feel better
good.
Work.
Yeah.
I know.
For that price.
Well, just those sheets I ordered. You know, you're plugging it, and it's only, you're plugging into your outlet, but it doesn't have the three prongs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got the grounding, the round one.
Okay.
You only plug it in there because, you know, everybody's house is grounded.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's what that third prong is.
Yeah. So that's the idea. And you know, I mean, the sheets were almost $300, but I'm like, I'm going to try it.
Well, fuck it.
You know, yeah.
Well, I'm
gonna give
it a shot. If it makes you feel good, then do it.
I hope it does.
We're living in wonderful times, miraculous times.
Yep.
Yeah. Make use of it.
Modern technology and what is that, physics or?
All of it.
Science.
Something like that.
Science.
Every kind of science you can imagine.
So as we close out the show, is there a song that you got recorded that we can play at the end? I think Let It Burn's the only one.
That is about my dad when he was in his 70s or early 70s, so about 10 years ago. He was going to buy a new horse, looking for a new horse. We grew up with horses. I rode all the time. We all rode. And he went to look at a horse out. Way out Rancho Haven area, you know, way out 395. And took his horse for a ride and got thrown. And I got a call from my mom, and I had to go out and pick him up. And he was jacked up, man. He broke his collarbone, four ribs. Had to take him to the hospital. But anyway, Let It Burn was about my sister, Jackie. She was helping him afterwards, trying to do some physical therapy. And he was just, you know, it hurts. It's burning. She's like, Dad, I was sitting there with him. She's like, Daddy, the burning is what heals you. You gotta, you know, and so that's sort of song. I was like, let it burn. Let your body do what it's supposed to, you know, and I wrote that song.
Rad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, Dave. This has been fucking
a great show. Absolutely.
Great episode.
Good talking with you.
And we'll be keeping up with your career and hopefully reach out to us when you're doing something, when you're going to release this record, and maybe we have you back on or whatever, you know, just stay in touch.
We'll do, man. Appreciate it.
With that, I say to you guys, for the Reverend Rory Dowd, for the Lord Strice, and everybody else associated with the Worst Little Podcast, I'm Nick Ramirez saying life is short and we love you. Thanks for listening.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Let it burn like it's supposed to. Let your pain do what it's there to do. Let the flames cleanse the damage from within. Let your body take a hold of what your mind has got within. Let it burn like it's supposed to. Let your pain even set you free. Phoenix from its ashes, let yourself begin again. And you got to feel your burning. Time to purify the man. And these lessons that you're learning must be meant to help you stand. Let it burn like it's supposed to. Let your pain set you free, set you free, set you free.
Set me free.